"I suppose she's entitled to be here," Quinn said. He was annoyed. He didn't need complications like the girl. "I'm going to have a word with Baxter. Make sure she doesn't see you. We don't want her to know we were here." Jackson gave him a thumbs up and took another gulp from his tankard. Baxter was standing on the ramp leading from the pit to the cages, head flicking from side to side as he followed the battling beasts. He acknowledged Quinn with a terse nod. A spume of blood flew out of the pit, splattering the people on the lowest benches. One of the sais was screeching. Quinn thought it was calling, "Help!"
"You've done all right tonight," Baxter said. "Break even. Beginner's luck. I let you place bigger bets you want."
"No, I need the money. I'm going up river soon."
"You build nice home for family. Good luck."
"I need more than luck up there. Suppose I bump into one of those."
He flicked a finger at the pit. The old bull had its jaws around the younger sais's throat. It was slamming its head against the side of the pit, oblivious to the deep gouges the other's claws were raking down its flanks.
"Sais, not like living near river," Baxter said. "Air too wet. You'll be all right."
"A sais or one of its cousins. I could do with something with a bit of punch, something that'll stop it dead."
"You'll bring plenty gear from Earth."
"Can't bring everything we need. The company doesn't let us. And I want some recreational items as well. I thought maybe I could pick it all up in town. I thought maybe you might know who I needed to see."
"You think too much."
"I also pay a lot."
Down in the pit, a sais's head virtually exploded as it was slammed against the wall for the last time. Pulpy gobs of brain sleeted down. Quinn smiled when he saw the old bull raise its head to its cheering owner and let out a gurgling, high-pitched bleat.
"Yes!"
"You owe me another 1,000 francs, he told Baxter. "You can keep half of it as a finder's fee."
Baxter's voice dropped an octave.
"Come back here, 10 minutes. I show you man who can help."
"Gotcha."
The old bull, sais, was sniffling round the floor of the pit when Quinn got back to Jackson. A blue tongue started to lick up the rich gore sloshing about on the stone. Jackson watched the spectacle glumly. "She's gone. She left with the twins after the fight. Christ, putting out like that. And she's only been here a day."
"Yeah? Well, just remember she's going to be trapped on a river cruise with you for a fortnight. You can work your angle then."
He brightened.
"Right. I think I got us what we need, though God's brother knows what kind of weapons they sell in this dump. Crossbows, I should think."
Jackson turned to face him. "I still think we should stay here. What do you hope to do upriver? Take over the settlement?"
"If I have to. Jerry Baker isn't going to be the only one who brought a Jovian bank disc with him. If we get enough of them, we can buy ourselves off this shit heap."
"Christ, you really think so? We can get off?
All the way off?"
"Yeah. But it's going to take a big pile of hard cash. That means we've got to separate a lot of colonists from their discs." He fixed the lad with the kind of stare Banneth used when she interviewed new recruits.
"Are you up to that, Jackson? I've got to have people who are going to back me the whole way. I ain't got space for anyone who farts out at the first sign of trouble."
"I'm with you, all the way. Christ, Quinn, you know that. I proved that last night and tonight."
There was a note of desperation creeping into the voice.
Jackson was insisting on having a part of what Quinn offered. The ground rules were laid out.
"So, let the game start," Quinn thought. "The greatest game of all, the one God's brother plays for all eternity, the vengeance game."
"Come on," he said. "Let's go see what Baxter's got for us."
Horst Elwes checked the metabolic function readout on his medical block's display screen, then glanced down at the sleeping figure of Jay Hilton. The girl was curled up inside a sleeping bag, her facial features relaxed into serenity. He had cleaned the nasty graze on her leg, given her an antibiotic, and wrapped the leg in a sheath of epithelium membrane. The tough protective tissue would help accelerate natural dermal regeneration.
It was a pity the membrane could only be used once. Horst was beginning to wonder if he had stocked enough in his medical case.